Time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. In the center studio, we have, once again, Cynthia and Ann. Good morning. Are you guys in there? Why don't I hear you guys? Let me push the cats. And we push this button. Say good morning.
How's that, Nate?
That's good.
Can you hear us now?
The cats stepped on a button once again. Obviously, that's nice. Let's bring in Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Doing great. How is everybody there?
Good. I just electronically sent you a letter to the editor, so look for that, okay?
Sure.
I do it electronically. I know I should do it the old-fashioned way.
No. We like it electronically, and if people, you know, then we don't retype it. And so it's really good to send it electronically, either through the website or to editor@lakevillejournal.com, and include a phone number.
And, you know, and I get this great little feature. I get the word count, it was 211 words.
Perfect, because we take up to 500, you know.
Yeah, I know, but it, what I had to say was done in 200. There was no problem with that.
Okay.
All right, let's go to the front page. Splashes of color. Kent school students find their voices at March.
That's right. It is a colorful photo, but really it's not like an Easter egg hunt. It was a very important another march, again, commemorating the day of the Columbine shooting. Too many high school shootings to commemorate now, and the National Call to Action Day. So Kent school students, that's the private high school down in Kent, had been on vacation actually when many of our other schools had marched, and really wanted to step out and make their feelings heard. So they went out, and it was an event that had a lot of our Democratic Party leaders. It had Elizabeth Esty was there. Bruce Adams was there. They walked to Kent Town Hall, dropped off a letter, and Bruce gave them a nice supportive speech. And then they went on to the center of town and spoke outdoors and had kids from other schools speaking as well.
All right. And it's funny because they were on vacation with the other match, and most of the schools around here
are on vacation this week.
For this one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Kind of a flip-flop there.
And we wanted to also point out that Brian Oler, who's our state rep, people keep writing letters to the paper and saying, well, you know, he wasn't at this march or he wasn't at that march. But we thought it was important to point out that that he's usually not invited because he's a Republican, but also that he is on the Appropriations Committee in Hartford, and that is he is at the state capitol now working very hard to make sure that we don't have another budget year this year like we had last year when Northwest Corner Towns really got stripped. So he was doing important work. He was not at that march, but he was not invited.
All right, then you've got his work on gun safety,
which is phenomenal. You know, he's done quite a bit. So.
All right. Now, this is an interesting story, solving the mystery of faces in decades-old photos.
This is a story that's very close to us as a Lakeville Journal family, which is there are not a lot of black families in Lakeville, Salisbury. And Ray Folks was one of his family was one of the few. And Ray, of course, was our pressman for many, many years. And actually was the caretaker for my close friend's property. And they lived down the street from him on Farnham Road. And when he passed away and the house was sold, Danielle Mailer and Peter McCarron bought the house. And they found this box of old photos just sort of documenting a little picture of life in the northwest corner that most people don't see, which is the black community. So Peter, who's a teacher at Salisbury School, organized the students to do a research project and sort of a history curriculum. And they've been trying to sort of identify the people in these photos and sort of piece together the life of this family here. And they had an exhibition at the Academy Building in Salisbury at the Salisbury Association Historical Society, which is open for a little longer and definitely worth seeing. And Patrick interviewed one of the students who was there and had worked on identifying the people in the pictures.
All right, Mooney Drew, Salisbury's other canon, but it's not really a...
It's not a canon, that's why it's an uppercase C. And ironically, so my friends, Ann and Dan, live on Farnham Road, and Ray Folks was their caretaker, and they live in Dormer Cannon's old house. So I don't know why Bernie decided all of a sudden to write about the Cannon family, but very interesting, complicated life, as so many older family lives are, and gives a little history on one of the important families of our town.
All right, and story that the budget vote for Region 1 comes up on May 8th.
Yes, and you know, of course, the budget is what funds Housatonic Valley Regional High School and special services, and of course the central office where the superintendent is. And they've already had to do quite a bit of cutting, but it's not like last year, which is a really horrible year. But They had to cut back on the German department, but we do sort of, as the Lakeville Journal, we do feel like it's important to support these students and the academic programs that are being offered for them.
All right, on page 8-3, we spoke to Sally Spillane about this last week, about what was found along the roadside with the
gymnasium. Yeah, incredible. So if you go out, so Ann Day, who's sitting next to me, is a big walker, and she knows that whenever you go out, there's just trash all over the sides of the road. So for Earth Day, which was the 22nd, there were a lot of activities before and after of roadside cleaning, and really, and I bet you pick up stuff as you're walking. I bet you pick up trash.
I don't really pick up trash.
But you do notice it's there.
If I had a bag, which I should do, then
and gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff is really dirty.
I have nowhere really to put it when I'm walking.
Right. You actually have to go with a garbage bag, which is
former First Selectman Bob Mueller, when he walks in town.
Yep. Takes a bag.
He always stops and picks.
Jerry Niebuhr, who used to live on Music Mountain, would come by and because it's just appalling.
I think it gets to be an obsession, though. I think you lose the focus of your walk. But so for Earth Day, people went out. There were kids who went out. There was there's Brian Oler, who's everywhere. Craig Miner, who's our state senator. And going out, picking up just incredible stuff. Often people don't secure the trash in the back of their pickup trucks, and you see it flying off the back of the truck. But I think that there's also a fair amount of people just tossing stuff out the window. The worst of it being a diaper.
I love the story out of Norfolk by Shaw. Among the trash, a diaper fully loaded.
It's so disgusting, right? I mean, really incredible, and just makes you wonder, how did that happen? But you kind of don't want to know. But
you kind of do, and makes you wonder why people don't think for one second about where they are and what they're doing and who's going to find it.
Yeah,
right. I did find a bag the other day, full of marijuana paraphernalia.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know if there was any marijuana in the bag, but there was all the rolling papers and stuff, and it looked really new and
fresh. Somebody was going to come back for that.
Yes, that's what I think.
Well, because if you read the police blotter, there's been a lot of activity in Salisbury this
You passed by
weeks.
A drop-off point.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Or because the police have been out, cruising around Salisbury. And
did you
found
take it?
Throw that out the window.
I didn't take it. I was afraid to even touch it.
I know.
Yeah, good call.
I want to go to Falls Village, Patrick Sullivan, the CSA at Adama.
Yes, Adama. And everybody keeps asking me, so where are the CSAs? What should I be doing for CSA? And so, of course, the community-supported agriculture, it's like being part of a co-op. You invest money at the beginning of the season. It helps them farm throughout the season, and then you get a weekly share. Sometimes the shares are quite large. So that's a great thing. But also, don't forget, it's also legitimate to shop at our local farm markets because they are also farming and trying to stay in business.
Now, on page A4, that's interesting. There's two pictures that are totally different in what the events were, but
the same thing.
They're tied in because it's fantasy.
Yeah. We do have a lot. People sometimes say we have too much Winsted. There's a lot of Winsted in this week's paper. So Northwestern Connecticut Community College, my daughter likes to go to these comic conventions, and they're huge, and they're having them everywhere. In Connecticut, they have them at Quinnipiac is often where they are. But so Northwest Connecticut Community College in Winsted had one, and huge turnout. And as you can see, lots of people dressed up. But then also the Marvelwood School had their annual princess tea. And I love that it wasn't just girls in fluffy little dresses. It was Wonder Woman and a little girl dressed up in her Wonder Woman costume. I was excited to find the older version of her.
All right. Now, there's a little story here on this page, but this is an interesting story. The Kent Center School Board of Education is holding a special meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, and it's on the grading system. And they are inviting
people to come talk
throughout the region to come and sit and listen and participate.
It used to be Falls Village is the rowdy town, but Kent is the rowdy town now.
And where it's tonight?
It's tonight, Kent Center School in the library. And a very, very activist board, very independent, and really having some conversations about the new curriculum, the new grading, the superintendent. And, of course, Marshall and I were just discussing last night, the All Boards Chairs Committee met at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, the central office, to talk about the superintendent and this change to how the boards function and whether she's allowed to have more power still over the curriculum. And I guess tonight the Region 1 board is having a special meeting to discuss it as well at 7 o'clock.
All right. New crop of art at the dump.
That is always the best show. I love it. I love Gail Jacobson. She's one of my favorite people. And Gail is an expert at finding little odd bits and making really cool stuff out of them, much of which I've bought from her and have in my house, which I'm not a big buyer of anything, but I love her stuff. So many years ago, she started a thing called Art at the Dump, named after Art, who is the transfer station manager there. And it's a fundraiser for Cornwall Consolidated School, and it only happens over the course of 2 days. People were coming from all over the state to bring their art, though. There was all sorts of interesting stuff, much of it very beautiful, and a lot of it sold out.
All right, interesting story by Shaw about a Northwest Community College student and her childhood in Ecuador.
Not just about her childhood in Ecuador, but about her mother leaving her behind. And it's very Stella Dallas. The mother left Ecuador, went to America to try to make some money, was sending money back so that the daughter could have a better life. The daughter was living with her grandmother. And the daughter gave a talk. It was a conference on human rights. At Northwestern Connecticut Community College, and really talking about how hard it was for her as a child. You know, she appreciated the money, but it was still very damaging for her. So as soon as she was able, she moved up here. The mom was in Torrington, and she said, you know, it really was a very difficult adjustment for her and the mother. And of course, it's never easy, college students' daughters and their mothers, but very, very eye-opening talk.
All right, a story of the Cornwall budget sailed through without any problem.
Which we love. Very, very quiet budget season for the most part this year, which we're very happy about.
And Patrick Sullivan in Falls Village with the details in the town reports.
Town reports are always interesting. Some towns are putting them only online. Most towns have them in print and online, but they're always interesting. If you want to know about your town, very quirky little reports often, and you learn a lot of interesting stuff.
Town reports are pretty cool, and they, you know, people basically they name them for people and stuff. But if you open up and look at the reports themselves, you can find out a lot about what goes on in the town.
Yeah, people don't really understand their towns around here.
They don't the inner workings. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And on the obituary page, our friend
don't forget Whiting Mills. Whiting Mills and Winstead, they're having their open artist studios tours this weekend. I went and I got to take a tour through. I had so much fun. And it's not a question of like, oh my God, it's world-class art. Some of it's, you know, just very, you know, some of it's very good. Some of it's just, but it's just a really, it's like going to the Wasaic Project. It's just these very nice studio spaces that they've been with so much lavish love converting into artist studios. And these people are so excited to be there and to have a space to do their work and to be working with each other. And they're going to have, I think there's like 50 artists that are going to be there that day. Plus they've invited a bunch of artists. Plus there's going to be vendors. And some of the art is really cool. And some of these, it's not just art, it's, you know, candles and soaps and funky stuff.
It's going to be interesting to see how they interact when the American mural opens up.
They're very linked.
I mean, I think it's really going to help all those other things that go on in Winstead when that opens up. That's just an amazing project.
I was ready to move to Winstead after walking through there. And the American Mural Project is part of that complex. And I hadn't quite realized. They kept saying, well, there are cranes there, but like there, that's going to be quite a spectacular building.
Oh,
Ellen Griesdick from here and Sharon has been running that.
Such a long-term project.
Incredible.
And finally coming to its, you know, logical conclusion. Great.
I want to pass along my condolences. Wendy Currier, I can't believe Wendy passed away.
A lot of people said that. Everybody seems to have known her and been touched by her. And, of course, James O'Rourke, Barry O'Rourke, father of Randy O'Rourke, our wonderful photographer from Kent. And then we have a story that Macy Levin did for us. Actually, he did it for Anne, and I stole it, on Sharon Playhouse and the two new heads of Sharon Playhouse, who I met the other day and just couldn't be nicer, friendlier, and more engaging and outgoing, and really looking for a way to kind of say, come back to Sharon Playhouse. We're going to make it the way you used to like it.
We had them on the air here on Dan Dwyer's show.
And
as a matter of fact, we ran it. Actually, it was such a good show. We ran it for about 3 weeks straight because
people
need to understand that Sharon Playhouse has made a significant shift back to being more local and the way these guys are going to run. So people need to know that. It's not what it was last year.
Right.
And so that people really need to know that.
Right.
All right, now, before we get to the editorial page, let's bring in Anne, because I'm sitting here looking at Compass right now.
Oh.
It's right here.
It's the order of the pages.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a review by Lynn Kircher, who's from Sharon, above the Grant Wood show at the Whitney. And it's not a show that I would have thought to go to, and she convinced me that it was worthwhile by this review that she did. We only know that one painting, the American Gothic, of the very stern-looking farmer and his wife with the pitchfork. But he actually had quite a big career, and there's 130 pieces in the show. And if you're going to New York, this is definitely would be something worth seeing. I don't want to give you all the tell you everything that's in there, but we have a review of the movie The Leisure Seeker with Donald Sutherland and Helen Mirren, and it's kind of a bittersweet film, but I would say that how can you go wrong with those two?
I was going to say,
really, I mean, it couldn't possibly be a bomb if it's got those two in it. It wasn't my idea of a great idea for a movie, but anyway, it's supposed to be quite good. Read the review.
Well, I want to see what you're going to do when the movie comes out about Mr. Rogers.
We'll do something big.
I don't think so.
We've also got Fred Baumgarten has done a preview of the Crescendo concert, which is going to be Saturday, May 5th in Great Barrington and Sunday, May 6th at Trinity Church in Lime Rock. It's really quite obscure, this music that they're doing called Dixit Dominus by the Baroque master Vivaldi. And Fred gives us a little history, so it's worth reading that story. And we have a play at Hotchkiss this weekend, Shock-Headed Peter, a junk opera based on an 1845 German children's book of poems. And then we have a big preview of Jacob's Pillow by Jenny Hansel. It just lets you know what's going to be available this summer, and you should make your reservations now. And that's all I've got.
Well, you also have the Aglet Theater having their thing this weekend.
Sorry, I forgot. Yes, well, there's a preview of that. It's a play called... I know what it's called. It's called These Shining Lives. It's about these women who were painting radioactive...
clock faces.
Watch faces, yeah. And then they'd be licking the brushes, not realizing that they were poisoning themselves slowly.
That's, I interviewed the students for Shock-Headed Peter, and then it really seems like it's going to be interesting. They do some amazing work at the Hotchkiss Dramatic Association. They really do. I don't know how the kids get the time to put into it, but it's amazing what they do. Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's the editorial page after the dance and everything like that.
Hey, we have to shake things up sometimes, you know? And this is it. This is how we did it this week.
All right, your editorial. I won't say anything, Janet. I'll let you go.
Yes, I know you disagree with this. And, you know, we take the opposing view, and I'm glad you sent a letter, and I expect other letters as well. But, you know, we wrote about Housatonic Valley Regional High School and the grading system and, you know, mastery-based learning last week, and wanted to clarify first the number of students who had D's and F's before the new program was put in, and so we do that, and also talk about, you know, why these changes were being made and the fact that we believe that it should not inform a vote on the Region 1 budget on May 8th, but rather other steps should be taken to do that. And, you know, it is a good approach to keep active and go to these meetings and make your voices heard. So don't take lightly what Kent Center School is doing tonight or any place else. It takes people being active and letting their administration and the educators know how they think things should go and take in that direction. But at any rate, we lay it all out there, and we have lots of good letters to the editor. And one is from Bob Whalen, who's a Region 1 representative from Sharon, and, you know, also the board at Region 1. He talks about that, and we have an appreciation for Elizabeth Esty, Earth Day, from Lonnie Carter, and other stuff.
Yep, making voting mandatory. You know what got my attention once again, turning back the pages? Someone that I went to school with, Leon Boudelier and his group, John Erickson, I went to school with him, Harold Fisher, and Jeff Sills. named themselves the Multiple Vitamins. They made their debut on May 3rd from 7 to 9 at Cornwall Consolidated School 50 years ago.
Oh, my God.
My God.
Were you there for that? No.
Well, I was in a band at the time. So, yeah, we used to watch other bands and go see other bands. I was in a band with Lance Middlebrook and Bobby Carberry, I mean, back in those days. So, I mean, yeah, it was 50 years ago. Okay. Turning back the pages. Oh, my gosh.
Well, and that's the fun part of it. And it's fun to remember you all did it at that time, and the kids are still doing it now. They're still having dances, and it's still fun.
Yep. Now, you flip the page, and you've got the viewpoint, too many candidates for governor, too few ideas. Boy, is that correct.
Yes, and this is Dick Ollis, who often writes about statewide politics for us and also national politics. And he gets a bit of each here, but... he does go through all the candidates we've been hearing about, and he hopes for better candidates at the end. But his point is, right now, even with two parties, there are too many candidates, too few ideas, and convention's only weeks away. So do read through what he has to say about that.
And it's the tax time of year, so you've got Martha Miller there, Communication and Understanding Tax Returns.
Yes, and you know, Martha really is concise in how she explains what to do post-tax season to make sure you understand what just happened and what will be happening in the year to come. And especially this year, it's so important with the new tax law. So she really does explain what to do. It's short. It will not make your brain hurt after, you know, getting through taxes. You know, you might feel like, oh, I don't want to think about that now, but now's the time because it's fresh in your mind. So read what Martha tells us.
All right. And, of course, then on the next page, you have the story that Anne, you let her steal, rebuilding trust and share.
That's right. That's right. We share. Anne and I are collegial.
And there's the picture of the Housatonic. You think of the ice jam, and it's gone, and there they are out on the river.
Sculling.
Sculling.
Yeah, great. If we ever thought the ice and snow was never going to go away, here we are, so let's not complain about rain or warmth.
That's right. And, you know, I have to say, the crew teams at Kent and at Salisbury are very exciting and very world-class. And that's what a wonderful way to spend time. And they have the most beautiful boathouse down at the Kent School with all of their jackets from the Henley Regattas that they've competed in England in the past years.
Well, the boathouse at Salisbury is going too shabby either.
You know, I've never been there. I actually I'm going to have to, because we've been doing, Janet and I have been, there's been a ton of Salisbury School boys sort of underfoot at our office lately, which we've loved. They've been coming and doing all these different projects with us. So I'm going to, that's my goal for this year before the school year ends.
You stand
ends.
At that boathouse and you look out at the lake. It's absolutely magnificent. Yeah. Now, you asked me, were you in a skull? No, I wasn't a skull. I know somebody who was, and they invited me out there to see them go off. And
what happened?
It was
great.
You didn't
get in, right?
No, I can't even get into a canoe. Never mind.
I understand. That's what I'm asking.
Holy smokes.
I was concerned.
I consider a canoe a skull.
I was picturing, I have to entertain myself by picturing various things.
One year I was going to go, remember that the race they used to have down the Housatonic?
Yes.
I was working with Dale Jones at KZE many, many years ago. And I said, Dale, come on, let's enter. That's a great idea. And he looked at me and he goes, you idiot, we'll kill ourselves.
Yeah,
especially
that's a rough
you.
Race.
He says, you'll die.
How you want to die? No.
That was a rough race because there was always in spring when all the snow is melting and
the water
was freezing
fast.
And
that it happened to be the day most memorable for me was the Day of Trade Secrets when it snowed. Forget it.
But for those who can do it and who love it, it's the most fun in the world. Yep. They just love getting out there.
That's how you really know it's spring around here, is you start to see the boats and you see all the people that you know who are paddlers and their hair is standing straight up and they've got a fleece jacket on and it's like bliss look on their face.
I'd love to mention we have Tri-Corner Real Estate in the paper this week too.
And that's its own section.
It's its own section and lots of real estate information. It's full of all kinds of properties and homes you can look at, see what's going on, and see what you'd like to make a change and buy.
There's several really notable, interesting properties, and there's one that has a full-page ad with about six photos in Kent. There's some very interesting properties in there this month.
All right. Well, thank you, guys, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you so much.
Have a good week.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, you can find the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com and also on your newsstands and right here on Robin Hood Radio on a Thursday morning.